所以你们这里是在浪费
时间，缺少这种机会。
OK。
So, what is most cool is
okay, then good morning to you all. Thank you for still being able to come after a long night here at Astreich. And welcome to the fourth and last day of the Linux Audit Conference. We're starting today with Ilse Bufwitsch from, where exactly?
Virginia Tech,
I'm sorry. I know you moved recently, so I cannot remember the new address. Some of you may know him as the founder of the LinuxAudio.org.
Not quite, the follow-up director.
I'm sorry. He has been talking this last year for a short time, I think. Can't really remember. And this time, I think you will be giving a small update on what's happening and what their next plans are. So, here we go.
All right. So, as you may be already aware, we have this organization, LinuxAudio.org, and it's designed to promote Linux audio.
We need the sound.
Oh, it's very soft. Sorry, guys. Ooh, can you crank that up?
I usually.
See, nothing works in Windows world just as expected. It could be that their XMMS has turned down the main volume. Or the main out.
1 second. Sorry for this.
Shut up! How do you give it away?
Is this stage, is that prepared?
Yes. Oh, there's no point of getting it out. Can we go back to the...
My fault. So
now pretend like you have not seen anything, right? So we're going back from the scratch.
There we go.
Thank you.
I'm in.
Very slowly. Thank you. All right, so we're here to talk about LinuxAudio.org. Who is it, what is it, and why is it? All right, so let's go to the next slide, please. So what and who is really the easy part of this presentation? This is basically the synopsis of the LinuxAudio.org mission. And basically, I'll just read it for you. So, LinuxAudio.org is a not-for-profit consortium of libre software projects and artists, companies, institutions, organizations, and hardware vendors using Linux kernel-based systems and allied libre software for audio-related work. You got that so far?
Yeah.
Okay. With an emphasis on professional tools for the music production, recording, and broadcast industries. The consortium aims to coordinate joint projects between members, collaborate on the promotion of Linux-based systems for all your tasks, offer programs beneficial to members and subsequently its mission, and provide a single point of contact for prospective industry partners. So, in other words, we're trying to become sort of a central organization where open source or libre software projects which are relevant to the Linux audio community can relate to, and where we can provide open support for those particular projects. Next slide, please. And now we get to the other not so easy part, and that is why. And of course, we do have some pretty straightforward answers to that, but as you'll find out soon, it gets a little bit more complex than that. In its original state, Linux Audio.org, which was, we'll get to the history part in a moment, so I won't even talk about that right now, but basically in its original state, it was supposed to be a central resource for the Linux Audio community in terms of contact, discussion, web-related resources. It's also supposed to foster interaction with the audio industry, sort of serve as a liaison between the developers and distributors. Programs which support the relevant endeavors, like PR, meaning public relations, and CD compilation, one of which was released this past year under the auspices of the Made in Linux initiative. Next slide, please. Okay, so let us quickly just go over the history. LinuxAudio.org was founded in 2004. There were 17 founding member projects which got gathered together, I believe, sometime in January. Daniel may object to this, approximately, give or take a couple of months. Daniel James, at that point, was titled or elected director. Dave Phillips has been given the title of a director of the management board, which basically entitled him to oversee the management board and give that tipping vote in the case of a tie. And there were 10 project representatives which acted as a management board at a given point in time. So basically 10 select dedicated people were chosen to oversee the decisions made by the director and the overall organization. And then there was obviously other open general membership, which obviously was there to reap the benefits of the organization as well as to participate in its endorsement and therefore its credibility. In 2005, we've seen transition. Last year, as Frank has pointed out a moment ago, I made a presentation completely oblivious of the LinuxAudio.org initiative, in which I suggested that we should find or we should generate a foundation which would provide artists opportunities as well as general outreach. So in other words, we would cater to the artists which would then by generating art in the area of Linux audio would by the actual act itself generate a PR for us. As it was quickly pointed out, even during the review process of that paper, a question was raised, why wasn't there any mention of Linux Audio, LinuxAudio.org? And quite at the same time, I was also, I can't remember who contacted who, but I believe I may have contacted Daniel apropos this. And Daniel's was at that point shifting towards the 64 Studio project, which you've seen presentation the other day. And as a result of that, he suggested, based on what I was thinking about, to simply have me take over the spearheading of the LinuxAudio.org. So a proposal was made to merge the Made in Linux and LinuxAudio.org as a one initiative, and Daniel James stepped down, and membership grew to about 22 members. I could be wrong with a couple of them, give or take. And of course, I was elected by the board to be the new director. So today we have 34 plus members. The reason why I have plus is it's not like a cheap PR thing, but really we have a couple of pending members whose emails I haven't had a chance to answer yet. But basically this is a list of current members and their explanations. If you want to look at these more detailed, the PDF of the slides will be made available shortly. But basically we have in effect doubled in size in less than 2 years. Next slide. So we have a management board which is currently constituted of actually 11 members, if I can count this early in the morning. Yes, 11 members. And that includes the former director, Daniel James, 64 Studio. I believe that this was something that was recently added, but I believe that it's a great idea because we need to have that sort of a continuity in an organization like that where the wisdom of the previous director can always come in handy. So, we have basically completed more or less assimilation or integration of the Made in Linux ideas. They have not all come to fruition, but they're definitely on the roadmap, and that is, I think, a success in itself. We have a growing presence. We have sponsored outreach events and conferences and expos. Many of these were actually undertaken by the members, such as Daniel James, who has gotten them a sponsorship from AMD for the, what was that, Sounds Expo booth, right, in 2005?
It was $3,000 US.
Right, but it was year 2005, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So we have a number of high profile members. We have Mandriva, we have Ubuntu, obviously have, and the representative for Ubuntu is Mark Shuttleworth. We have Miller Puckett on board, we have John Fitch, and a lot of other big names. Obviously we have Paul Davis, and although he's not on the board, shame on you, Paul. So anyways, we have grown and we continue to grow. Next slide, please. So we have now started the consolidation of web resources. Perhaps some of you may have caught some of the messages that have been flying around on Linux Audio Developers site, the Linux Audio Users site. In effect, there have been some suggestions to try to consolidate the web resource. So if there's a newcomer to the Linux community, or Linux Audio community more precisely, that they can have only one source of information, well, not necessarily only one, but definitely one focal place where all the other branches sort of lead from. Sort of kind of like what the Davis current website is, except even more expanded and more detailed. So right now we have moved the server to Virginia Tech, which has also joined the consortium. We actually have three member institutions. We have Maynooth, and we have College Conservatory of Music in the United States in Cincinnati, and we have Virginia Tech, obviously. What that has given us is virtually unlimited bandwidth. We're not footing the bill, and so that's really nice. And the server currently supports MySQL, PHP, ImageMagick, and obviously other stuff can be installed on demand, provided that we don't generate, you know, gaping security holes. So currently hosted sites under the umbrella of linuxaudio.org is obviously linuxaudio.org itself. We have LAD site that has been successfully moved and ported. So if you're looking for that good old LAD site, it's right there on that website. That LAD page actually also includes, as you can see down at the bottom, LAC depository of awcasts from all the previous LAC conferences, which number in about 6 gigabytes worth of stuff. We also have LU site. We have LATS by DST, we have low latency, we have QuickToots and Docs, which are still in the process of being updated. So if you go to those websites, there's not much information yet, or it's not structured quite yet, but the people who are in charge of taking care of those sites are very, very much full speed ahead, and they're working on it hard, and it should be up and running in practically no time, or real soon now, kind of thing. Okay, next slide please. Okay, we have two message boards, or I guess there should be more mailing lists than message boards. Sorry, this is a 4:30 a.m. Sunday slide, so the wording is not the best. But anyways, so we have two lists. One is the consortium list. It's open. So in other words, right now, there's really no mechanism for checking who is a member and who is not a member. So if you want to just join the consortium list so you can hear what we're doing, what we're working with, and what's happening, then you can simply subscribe to this list. And there also is a management list, which is a closed and managed list. And this is sort of like a low traffic decision-making place. We generally try to, or at least what we have been doing in the past couple of months, we try to present changes or updates to the structure of the institution to the membership. We solicit comments, ideas, and then once we get sort of feedback from various members, if any, then we go and vote on it. I personally, as an acting director, do not have a voting power. I sort of am just there to shout and raise my hand a lot, but generally speaking, the management board is the one who votes on the issues. And if you may have noticed from the previous slide where the management board was listed, we have a very colorful management board in terms of their ideals and interests. So we're almost guaranteed to get that nice middle ground kind of decision for most of our decision-making processes. So we are now in the process of preparing for the establishment of the nonprofit organization. So we're right now trying to hammer out the bylaws, the articles of incorporation, and what we have just recently completed, as a matter of fact, this past week, is we have finished rebranding a new logo, which will show up on the website very shortly. So without further ado, That's our new logo, and basically we have the sort of singing penguin there, and we have a bit of a updated font, which sort of reflects our techiness, I would say. But anyways, so so this is our new logo, which will be posted on our website very shortly. We will make another smaller logo in the coming week and make it publicly available, which will have much more text under the logo so that we can have our member projects and institutions actually display that logo as a link on their sites. We will restrict, however, use of that logo to our member projects. At least that's the current intention. The board will still have to decide upon that, but the current tendency seems to be going that way. The logo itself, the penguin, has been designed by Thorsten Bjoms. We also had a wonderful feedback from Patrick Shirky, who has also provided some really great ideas. So let's move on, please. So a couple of facts about LinuxAudio.org. LinuxAudio.org is not a VIP club. We're not trying to do like invite-only stuff. As a matter of fact, any legal Linux Audio-related endeavor is welcome to join. Okay, so basically what I mean by legal is like if you're stealing computers and making them audio computers, obviously you will not be necessarily eligible for our membership. But other than that, everything else is perfectly fine. So in other words, if you are interested in joining, there's nothing really preventing you from joining other than if you have absolutely nothing to do with Linux Audio. Okay? Focus on Libre projects and allied endeavors. This is an important part because even though we have members such as corporations and we have institutions and pretty soon we'll have other forms of membership as it will be explained in a moment. Generally speaking, all of our main focus will be focused on these Libre software projects. So projects were basically, which are basically maintained by volunteers. So that way we will have the ability to hopefully in the future raise money which will then pour back into the community rather than fund a commercial project which already has money to deal, work with or deal with. Next slide, please. So membership. To join, simply email the director stating you're interested in becoming a member. This is a silly but very important step because otherwise we can start adopting projects without them knowing about it, right? So this email is sort of proof that you really want to become a member, so therefore we have a sort of a trail saying, okay, well, you expressed to become a member, that's why we have you a member, and if you want to quit being a member, that's perfectly fine too. So by joining, one expresses support of LinuxAudio.org's mission. There's no dues and or other hidden costs ever, okay? This will change once we become to some extent, once we hopefully become incorporated, which is something that you'll find out about soon, but that will not change the fact that you can maintain your free membership. So in other words, if you join as a free project, open source project, even once we become incorporated, hopefully soon, your opportunity of staying a free member will not change. Currently, membership is limited to Libre software projects, institutions, organizations, for and non-for-profit corporations and hardware vendors. Okay. Symbiosis of this process is that by you joining the consortium, we're gaining more and more credibility. In other words, we're getting more and more endorsements. On the other hand, you guys get the free exposure or whenever possible, and hopefully that will increase as the time goes on and as we become more and more let's say powerful in terms of our financial prowess. Next slide, please. So the future, the way how I currently see it, and hopefully most of the management board too, is that of course we're looking for continued growth. We're looking to incorporate as a non-profit organization by the year's end, hopefully. What this will obviously enable us is that we'll be tax-deductible non-profit foundation slash organization where we'll be able to get in touch with commercial companies or hardware vendors or anybody else who is willing to donate their money, because in that case they'll be able to get their tax deductible donation from it. Also, it's amazing when you deal with commercial companies how much of a difference official letterhead does, or the fact that you have some kind of a registered number as a corporation, because a lot of corporations are simply wary of throwing lots of money on an individual which has no sort of a contractual obligation, or I guess some. But so By doing so, we're hoping to gain that momentum of actually accumulating funds, which will then help us do wonderful things for our members. So right now, the big question is, where do we become incorporated? And that's something that's going to be discussed in the coming weeks on the board. It has been already discussed to some extent. The basic two questions that that question actually tries to boil down to is the question of where can we harness the most sponsorship? Okay, so in other words, the whole point of getting incorporated is that we get some kind of a sponsorship. Well, then we have to look for a country where we have a lot of corporations we can tap into. But it is not the sole parameter. The other parameter of that is that we also have to tap into a country where we know that we have at least half dozen dedicated members who will be willing to take on the tasks, very mundane tasks, that is, such as filing annual tax reports, maintaining the bank accounts, you know, clean sheet on bank accounts. They obviously have to be accountable. We also have to have a network of people who will be working with other aspects and facets of the organization. So in terms of need of dedicated volunteers, the way how I see it is that we need at least a minimum of 5 people who will be willing to do this for free for some foreseeable future. And that is obviously director, assistant director, treasurer, who would be basically the tax guy slash the guy who maintains the accounts. There will be a membership outreach person who will be soliciting new memberships and sort of making sure that we maintain contact with important players in the industry. We also probably will need a secretary who will probably, you know, mail out the important stuff and the minutes of the meetings and stuff like that, communicate with the membership, and possibly other. We will continue consolidation of web resources. We're hoping to do monthly editorials, reports. So far, you may have noticed that in the past year, our news site has been all but dead. In part, that was because of the transition that we've been dealing with, and then that was because the site has been hosted by Daniel, who was very graciously helping whenever he could, but obviously also has other things on his agenda. And so, same thing went with me. I was in the middle of a move, and so, that part of the website has been put somewhat in the back burner. We will like to change that in the coming months. So what we're going to try to do is give at least a monthly report on everything that has been happening. That would also include accomplishments of our member projects and institutions or their mutual interactions. So for instance, if there was something that was happening in this conference that you deem to be worthy and you are already a member of LinkSolid.org, the best thing you can do is simply email me or somebody else on the management board announcing this has been happening, so we can sort of create a kind of a summary as to what has been happening within the institution. We're hoping to do also some kind of a dynamic page or wiki resources and documentation, so that way not only do we get to sort of control the actual site, but also we get the members to chip in their stuff, so then by modularizing the website, we'll be able to sort of take the burden off of the maintenance of the actual website. And of course, this wiki resources documentation was something else that was sort of brought up when Dave Phillips recently mentioned on the Linux Audio Developers or Users Board or vice versa, that he's thinking about publishing that next edition of the Linux Music book, or I forget what the official title is. And one of the things obviously that happened with him is that because the whole process was taking so long that I think the funds for that making that book had run out, and there was some sort of a limbo situation between him and the publisher. What my sort of vision is that maybe down the road we could create a wiki page which has a standardized format similar to like a ALSA matrix, sound card matrix, a documentation page, so that we can create sort of a summary for each project, and this thing could possibly supersede then Dave's one page where you have all the Linux Audio related applications with somewhat of a PHP scriptable components, such as, you know, if your application has configure, make install, we can just have that inserted there depending on what the project is. So we would sort of help generate some of the documentation. We would not wish to take away your original home pages. We still want to have those, but we could have this kind of a uniform portal where everybody can look at what software is available there and then click on the link where they can then download the stuff and research it further. But it would sort of help address the idea of user friendliness when accessing the resources, and also would help with the building of the documentation for particular projects. We're also looking to expand membership to artists, which is obviously that aspect of the Made in Linux initiative that was mentioned last year. And we're considering doing that right now as a paid membership. So in other words, members who are artists who do not have necessarily a developing project or software project that they would deem worthy of submitting to linuxaudio.org as a sort of member project, then in that case we would sort of solicit some kind of an annual membership, and in return we would provide opportunities such as annual publishing of a CD, which would be maybe peer-reviewed submission. We would also maybe have annual awards, like the best piece, best composition in this genre or whatever. And so those kinds of opportunities would then kind of feed back to the membership base, which would then benefit from it. We would also look into categorizing membership to allow groups of specific benefits, which means basically, you know, if we have corporations and we have institutions and we have projects, some of which are free and some of which are basically something like a hardware vendor project, we cannot just simply bunch them all up in one, you know, giant stew and expect to give out one generic award for something. So what we're looking for is we will create pools of memberships, so we can say, okay, well, this year we're going to give this award to the best hardware or project, the best software project, the most significant contributor kind of a recognition and stuff like that. So that way we would sort of have different aspects addressed in this and keep everybody hopefully happy. Okay, so now we're revisiting that original mission of why, right? And this is basically the list as we've seen it right at the beginning of this whole presentation. And it, I think it's maybe interesting to see how that actual list will expand once we complete this transitional stage. So if you don't mind, Frank, tips. So now you can see all the other things that have been added as a part of that next step. So we have added consolidation of resources. We're also hoping to add standardization to the web resources. We're also looking for that institutionalized point of contact. So suddenly now a company who wishes to have a Linux driver for their sound card built, they're not going to anymore look for that individual programmer if they don't feel comfortable about doing that, but they can actually talk to linuxaudio.org institution, and we then can basically pair up the developers with the actual institution. We can also look for support of other means through the means of tax deductible contributions. We're looking to expand that CD compilation into annual CD compilation, so that way we'll release a CD once per year with compositions of artists who use predominantly Linux for their artistic endeavors. We'll also look for awards. We will try to generate the ISBN registered journal and editorials, which will enable a lot of academics to participate better, because in academic institutions, speaking from personal experience, the submissions to conferences, which only appear in proceedings, which I think is a great thing, in the peer review process towards tenure do not necessarily count as heavily as the ones that have registered the ISBN. Now, registering the ISBN obviously costs money, so we're hoping to sort of raise that money to get that stuff generated. It's a very silly thing, but then we have also that kind of an attractive offer for the academic circles. Documentation, obviously, will be sort of expanding upon that web project. And then also we're looking for possible expansion of that funding aspect to bounties and relationship with Linux Audio Conference. We're trying to sort of generate, or we're thinking of generating a kind of relationship between what we have between the International Computer Music Association and ICMC Conference, which travels around the world. So ICMA is sort of the front end for that, and ICMC is their poster conference. And so that way, if we have enough funds, we can help co-sponsor those institutions, or which will be hosting the LSE conference. Obviously, this is all provided that the LSC steering committee feels comfortable with that. So hopefully I'm not trespassing too much here. So, all right, next slide, please. So FAQ, frequently asked questions, some of the ones that I've received so far and that others have received, being members of the board. anticipated fiscal potential of linuxaudio.org. Is it really worth it? I believe Paul brought this up last year, and it was a very valid question. When we look at the linuxaudio users list and linuxaudio developer lists, we're probably looking into 1,500 members, tops. Although that's a very, very, let's say, vague estimate as to how many membership, how much membership we have, which obviously makes us a niche, of a niche, kind of. Right. To give you a counter perspective on that, Society of Electroacoustic Music in the United States as an institution within the United States, which is almost primarily funded by the membership dues, has roughly a little bit less than 500 members, and their annual annual income generated from that is roughly $15,000. Well, if we can generate $15,000 every year, and we're talking about membership dues which are between $25 and $55 depending on your status, right? If you're an academic, then you get higher fee. If you're a student, you get lower fee, kind of thing, right? So if you think about it, if we can generate 500 members, artist members who are paying members, and we have no other means of sponsorship, we could easily get, you know, $10,000 to $15,000, which we can then produce a CD, which probably costs about $2,000 a year, publish it to relevant institutions, magazines, do editorials, register ISBNs, provide awards, which maybe in their amounts could be symbolic, but nonetheless valuable. So anyways, I think the feasibility of it all is well within our reach. Other question that comes up is linuxaudio.org and Free Software Foundation. I believe in my recent meeting with some of the management board here at ZKM, this question was brought up and saying basically that we're not quite compatible with FSF. And I'm not here to deny that. I think we are not entirely compatible with FSF because we're soliciting membership from commercial industries. Yeah, let's say if one day we have RME joining our ranks and sponsoring us by providing or donating new hardware to the developers who want to develop drivers for us, RME has nothing to do with FSF. I don't know how we could even claim them to be compatible with FSF, right? So, or at least in their entirety. So by our mission, we're not entirely compatible. However, we are also striving to support those projects which are most compatible with it. So if we do get money raised, I can definitely assure you that we're not going to be supporting, you know, Red Hat because they already have money to do their stuff. We're going to be supporting projects such as Ardour or Swami or Muse. See, I pronounce it right. So. Muse, right? And all the other stuff that's out there, right? So this is how we could do it. There could be also other mechanisms that we can place in put in place that would prevent us from playing favorites, right? So we could say, and all these things have to be ratified by the board and will take a while to do that, but the idea is that basically if we have a project that receives an award of recognition 1 year and receives some kind of a financial support for it, then it won't be eligible to receive another one, let's say, in 3 or 5 years, right? So that way, in those years, other projects will be the ones who will be receiving them, and that way there will be sort of a sense of rotation. But at the same time, it would also allow for those projects which really progress the fastest to have opportunity to gain another award in a relatively short amount of time. Okay, where did the GNU go? Well, it didn't go anywhere really, but it's sort of implied in there, but it simply is, it's one of those things like, I don't know if that's really apparent in European culture, but in American culture, you know, if you say that you're gonna Xerox something, you're basically talking about copying something, right? And it's sort of like an idiomatic thing, you know. Xerox is really a company that has invented first copiers, but we now maintain that as being the act of Xeroxing. By the same token, we sort of looked at our mission and we said, okay, we really want to focus on audio projects in the Linux world because apart from all the other important GNU contributions to the Linux operating system, Linux kernel itself is also a very important component because that is a component that allows us the low latency work that we work with. And also it sort of focuses our mission. We're really here to promote Linux audio projects with a small asterisk next to it. If there's a project which is a cross-platform portable but also present on Linux, it's perfectly fine to be a member of. So, for instance, we have Audacity, which is a member of linuxaudio.org. It's obviously a cross-platform project, but at the same time, it is also very much present and very much dedicated to the Linux platform. Okay, Linux Audio versus Libre Audio, it's sort of the same spin in this thing. We could talk about all the Libre Audio software projects, we could say, you know, I can't think of anything right now. But let's say some Windows-based application or solely Windows-based open source application that's out there. And, you know, basically, why do we not admit them? Well, it's again an issue of our focus. If we dilute our focus too much, then basically we become kind of a jack of all trades and master of none. And so in the board's opinion, as well as the founding members' opinion, it was a better idea to maintain that focus and focus exactly what we're here to do. What about patents? What about them? Who cares? The idea is that basically LinuxAudio.org itself is not concerned with patents. So in other words, there's a question raised, if we incorporate in a country that is patent friendly, what will happen with the actual consortium? Are we going to be legally liable if one of our member projects potentially uses something that's patented in that country? Well, even though I'm not a lawyer currently, the way how it stands right now from everything that we've been discussing, it seems that we're completely oblivious to the component. We're not here to say how the projects will generate the goals that they need to generate. We're just there to say we support the endeavor of proliferating Linux audio. So again, and that's a big if we do incorporate a country that's patent friendly. So that pretty much finishes the FAQ. Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
What is the LinuxAudio.org's position on
LinuxAudio.org's position on patenting behavior of their members? Is there any sort of best practice or ethical guidelines, or can, you know, any kind of a company that specializes in patenting stuff become a member and not contradict the ends of LinuxAudio.org?
Well, we have inherently that conflict already, because for instance, again, let's go back to the example of RME. If RME becomes a member, I'm sure they have tons of stuff patented, or at least somehow copyrighted so that nobody else can use the stuff that they have. Like for instance, the FireWire 800 sound card, which has, you know, a bazillion inputs and outputs, right? So by saying that we don't want anybody who has patents in their, you know, in their portfolio, I think we'll be shooting ourselves in the foot. But at the same time, we also, as an institution, believe in a patent-free society. So therefore, what's going to happen is that when we get to the support of it or the awards and the recognitions, we will keep that in mind. So in other words, we'll have a separate pool and mostly focused pool on the projects which are free and liberal projects. And we could obviously then, at least this is in my opinion right now, because some of these things will have to still be ratified by the management board. But the way how I see it again is that by separating those in some pools or ponds, if you want to call them that way we'll maintain that focus that we do have that belief. But we also are trying to attack the issue from a very pragmatic standpoint. That means that, you know, if a Microsoft comes tomorrow and gives us $1 million to proliferate Linux audio, which obviously will happen when the health freeze is over, but the idea is that, you know, if that happens, you know, I'm thinking like, well, why not? If there's no strings attached, we'll take $1 million and give it to you guys, and you guys develop, you know, Ardour 4 or whatever, Muse 2.0 or whatever, right? And so in that respect, I think, you know, rather than throwing eggs on Microsoft logo, I think this would be a much more powerful statement, right? But again, that would be only in a situation when that donation would be made with no strings attached, you know? Which, of course, again, comes back to the original statement when hell freezes over, right? So anyways, hopefully that answers your question. So acknowledgements, general Linux Audio community, management board and the general membership, Thorsten Jones and Patrick Shirky for their logo efforts, Virginia Tech for making this trip possible and for footing the bill for the serving of the web pages, Frank Neumann for putting up with all the stupid stuff that I put in the actual slides. So he was very helpful, thank you. And of course my family for keeping me sane. And the next slide, please. So at this point, you have contact information here on the left. URL, all the interesting stuff. I would like to open the floor for any questions that you may have.
So this is Hanno Nienhuis from the Netherlands. You mentioned that you had unlimited bandwidth.
Yes.
And I was wondering whether we from lilypond.org could try to make a dent in that
yes.
Unlimited stuff.
Please, yes.
Okay, thanks. So How do I sign up? How do I get an account? What do I do?
Just let me know what would you like to have your login and password be, and I'll set your account up, and then obviously you'll have to change your password once you do that. And we'll also have to contact Daniel James to update the DNS, because he's still the owner of the DNS, so it may take maybe day two or three, depending how our availability is, but generally speaking, in a matter of days, you'll get your place.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
So who's next?
Yes.
Okay. Question from Martin Havitz in the UK. He was just asking, when will the decision be made about where to incorporate?
Well, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, probably not, hopefully not months, because in the summer months everybody goes for vacation, and at that point, you know, you might as well forget about it. But hopefully in the next couple of weeks. So if members, we would like to restrict input only from members, because that would be one of the perks of joining, obviously. So if you guys want to provide your input in this, join quickly and then write your input, right?
Hi, Lee Rebo from the US. Some people may roll their eyes at the mention of web forums, but it kind of seems that that's the way that things are heading, like it or not. Are there any plans for a web forum?
It's a possibility, again, considering that we currently have more or less unlimited bandwidth. I mean, obviously we would appreciate some support with webmastering and sysadmining of that stuff, but generally speaking, I think if the membership is willing and membership is interested to using that resource, I don't think it's going to be a problem.
Great, thanks.
Oh, by the way, while we're waiting for Victor to ask his question, I do have some business cards to, even though they're not official, next slide of the work, because they're always still not in print, but definitely if you need contact information, just come see me afterwards and I'll give you your contact information necessary.
Okay, Victor Mazzarin from Ireland. How realistic and what are the prospects of sort of luring or enticing hardware vendors to the whole, Linux hardware thing? Because that's, I think, is one of the most urgent things, so that we have, we know that that brand computer does what we need, and that brand sound card. Although we tend to do these things by asking the list and what's the best,
Right.
It would be good if we had a contact in the industry, and that, then we would just
watch it. Right. That's a very valid question, and I would say, even though it's impossible for me to say that it's, 17.437% greater, I would definitely say it's much greater. And it's primarily because a lot of corporations tend to prefer official letterheads and institutions to talk to. They're a lot more comfortable with that, even if we have to deal with NDAs. And of course, we would prefer if we didn't, but if NDA enables us to use some sound cards that we couldn't use otherwise, I think that's a healthy thing. And again, that sort of comes back to the idea that we cannot be purely FSF, but we're more sort of, we try to be as much as we can be FSF, but we're also looking for a more immediate role. So, and to give you some perspective on that, even though in the recent weeks we've been contacted by the IBM OSDL representative, basically regarding the whole Linux desktop project, and I believe Takashi is going there next week to represent us and talk to them, saying what we really need. And this is obviously pertaining to the IBM's rollout of the desktop machines in their company. So even though we're not even incorporated yet, by the sheer fact that we have the membership support and the intentions of doing so, we're already gaining interest from such institutions.
Paul Davis, America. I just wanted to make two follow-up comments to what Iso just said. The Linux desktop stuff that's happening through OSDL is actually potentially a very important thing that's a little bit out of the realm of what many people in this room tend to focus on. Most of the people who are at this conference tend to have a focus on experimental music and composition, or on studio pro audio type applications. But I was at the first OSDL meeting last December, and there is a lot of money floating around to fix up audio and multimedia on the desktop. But when I say a lot of money, I'm talking between $500,000 and $1.5 million. The IBM guy that mentioned that number just mentioned it as if it was peanuts, basically. You know, if that's what it costs to actually fix sound on the desktop, I think his exact words were, then we pass around that tin cup and we pay the money. And at the moment, there is no coordinated agency within the Linux world that is really able to take on that task. We have the desktop fractured between GNOME and KDE and various other tools. Most of us guys are all focused on our own individual applications and are not really that interested in how do we make it all work. You know, when a regular desktop user as opposed to a musician boots up their machine, how does it actually work correctly? And I think it's probably, I don't want to overstate the importance, but I have a feeling that what comes out of what OSDL is trying to make happen may be really critically important, and I think it's really important that people in this audience and this group and so on and so forth actually really pay attention to that, because otherwise the desktop is going to go off in a different direction than one that is actually useful for, for instance, most of the people who are here. And then secondly, just to answer Victor's question, or to just give another piece of information, now I can't say a whole lot about this, but you know, hardware manufacturers are interested in Linux right now. They're very interested in it. And in, at the moment, what's happening, if you look at most of the new audio interfaces that are coming out, they're all FireWire. There's nobody really making new PCI interfaces. Everything's being done on FireWire. There are two chipsets at the moment for FireWire, and I think it's very likely that in the near future, we already have support from the work of the FreeBot project on one of them. And I think it's very likely that we'll have support for the other one soon, and that's precisely because the people that make that chip want Linux support. It's not because we went to them or found them or anything. They actually came and said, you know, we actually need it to work on Linux. So I don't think we have to be worried about the idea that these guys don't care about Linux. There's a few holdouts like Motu, but in general, most of the guys know that it's an important market for them. So,
just as a quick follow-up again, basically, I think if you're interested in joining, you should definitely consider joining. There's no strings attached. If you're already a member, perhaps even more importantly, is that what we would like to do is start soliciting, if possible, monthly updates in the project, and we will generate summaries on the actual inside org page. Because what happens very often is you go on a particular website where there's a project which is teeming with activity, yet their front end doesn't say anything about it. You really have to go and dig into CVS to see how quick, or how, you know, how long ago was any file updated, right? Which is, I think, a shame. So we can sort of circumvent that. You guys can simply, you know, send a blurb of two or three sentences saying, okay, this is what we've done in the past month, and this is where we're heading, and we can sort of create a kind of a roadmap so that the people who come and observe the Linux Audio Org's activity or the activity of its members, then they can have that idea of, yes, there's a lot of stuff going on, we're not dead, we're just basically busy, right?
Okay, then maybe I have one question myself. I'm from Germany. Each year, a few weeks before this conference, I'm going to the Musikmesse in Frankfurt and see if there's any progress, Linux being used, being made visible, and always try to reach some of the smaller companies and ask them if there is any chance of them porting or releasing specs or anything. Of course, normally there is almost no success at all. I'm just wondering, your initiative so far, has it given any fruit, any success stories about, for instance, creating contacts for commercial companies and getting them to release specs for whatever, drivers, for hardware, file formats? Have there been any success stories yet?
Not directly. I guess there is indirect success stories. I mean, one of our member projects is a FreeBot project, so there was basically that success, but it wasn't ours. And actually, when you think about it more accurately, really, there is no such thing as LinuxAudio.org success. There will be only success of its constituents, which will be obviously summarized in that one page. But I honestly cannot think of anything top of my head right now. I might be missing something, but we have not, I don't think we have had any successes in that direction other than admitting, well, never mind, Daniel James wants to say something.
Hello.
Is this on?
Yes, it is.
Daniel James from England. Just to comment on your point, Frank. We've been to the Sounds Expo trade show for the last 3 years in London, and talked to a lot of these firms. And what I've observed is that there is a lot of Linux in Pro Audio equipment now, but you don't necessarily see it, and it doesn't necessarily have anything. There's not necessarily any direct contact with the Linux audio community. For example, I just spoke to someone at Allen & Heath, which is a manufacturer of mixing consoles. They have a new product called the iLive, which is a large-scale mixing desk, and at least part of it is Linux-based. However, I asked them what they were using, and they said that they'd actually developed the whole thing in-house, completely isolated from the Linux audio community. And if you look at some of the other products now, like the Korg Oasis keyboard, I'm pretty sure that they developed that more or less in-house as well. So clearly there are people in these companies who are not only aware of Linux audio, but actively developing Linux audio. What's not happening at the moment is that they're actually sort of joining in with the community. And this is probably for reasons of commercial confidentiality. If you've got a new product coming out in 6 months or a year's time that's Linux-based, you don't necessarily want your competitors to know about it, so you're not going to mention it on a forum. So I think together with that phenomenon, you've got the general phenomenon that software developers are becoming more and more Linux-aware, and there are more people with Linux skills within these companies that the management may not even know about. So it's more a question of a sort of a diplomatic relationship with these companies so that they can actually communicate with the wider community a little bit better.
I'm Wendy Nash from the Netherlands again. Small comment on the previous comment. I think that we have seen with a lot of hardware manufacturers that make telephones running Linux or routers or wireless access points, that they try to keep silent that it's running Linux inside, and when you take a look inside, there's actually a lot of GPL violations and copyright infringements.
Yes.
So we need to stay vigilant.
Yes, and I think that's where maybe, again, an isolated or a consortium can help to protect some of the IP that we have within the Linux audio community. Of course, IP being used in a loose sense, we're not talking about patented property, we're talking about intellectual new GPL property, and that might become some form of a mission that Linux audio working people are not allowed.
Okay, then now I'd like to change the Q&A session. Thank you very much, Itzo.
Thank you.
And then we'll continue at 12:15 with Martin Rumori on the Foothills package.
Oh, no, no, it was fun actually.